Genesis chapter 19 and verse 14 for our text. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked to his sons-in-law. Those words, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. The preaching of the gospel never mocks. The preacher never mocks. The gospel never mocks. It speaks words of soberness and truth. However, lest we be too condemnatory too soon, I invite you to consider if somebody came to you today and said, come on, you must turn to the Lord because the world is going to be destroyed tomorrow, what would your reaction be? Your reaction would be not to believe, but in reality, behind that, your thought would be, who says so? Whose authority says this thing? Oh, if somebody comes up and says to me, the world's going to be destroyed tomorrow, I'm not just going to believe them. However, if there was a real sense that God was saying this, then that would be different altogether. And of course, what we have in the Bible is not that God says we're going to be destroyed tomorrow, but that the Lord saves those who believe in him, makes atonement for their sin. Our last day is when we die, and the last day for us all is when the Lord Jesus returns. There is no mocking in the gospel. Now, I began with Genesis 6 because I wanted you to try and think how bad the days were then and invite you to think as the Lord leads you, how bad are the days now? Are they worse? Are they not as bad? Is it the same sins? Or is it different sins? I'm not going to answer those questions for you. But I am going to remind you that the Lord says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. It was Job's great problem. He said to God, won't you let me alone? I haven't got long to live. Just let me live my own life. Well, God favoured Job and didn't answer that prayer in that way. But the Lord does say that his spirit will not always strive with man. He knows that we're flesh. And if we won't obey him, beyond a certain point, he will not push us. If we will not believe his Bible, then beyond a certain point, he will not allow us to continue to read. And then he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. That doesn't mean the age of people in those days. We read in the New Testament that Noah is described not as the builder of the ark, but as a preacher of righteousness. And these 120 years were the years that man would stay on the earth. He would allow them 120 more years to repent. And it's left to our imagination under the Spirit to think of Noah building the ark, people coming to ask him what he was doing, and Noah explaining and preaching the gospel of righteousness, and of men turning away. They were as those, they thought Noah was mocking. Silly man to make a boat on dry land. Silly man to make a boat and say that the world is going to be destroyed. But Jesus said they were the silly ones. They kept on going and living their ordinary life. They kept on buying, selling. They kept on marrying and giving in marriage. They kept on doing all their ordinary things till they were swept away. Who were the silly ones? And then as Genesis 6 continues, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Great enough that it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Men's hearts turned away from God. Men's lives did what they wanted to do. And the Lord repented him that he'd made man on the earth. Does that still apply? It grieved the Lord at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. He's never again going to destroy man from the face of the earth and beast by a worldwide catastrophic flood. But he is going to destroy it, according to the New Testament, by a worldwide catastrophic fire. If you were given the choice, would you escape the flames and dive into water, or escape the water and run into the flames? I'm sure the answer is that you would prefer water to flames. And therefore we must say that this, although there's never again going to be a complete flood over all the earth, it is going to end by fire and everything is going to be purged. And surely that has to be in the mind of any who do not trust Christ, the worse of the two options. But we read that Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. It was the reason why he was chosen. And it's the reason why any of those who believe today were chosen. The catastrophic overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and the streets, the cities of the plain, was not all that long after the catastrophic universal flood. It would be about, I'm only saying about, it would take a little, 450 years later, in living memory. 450 days, years later, in living memory. Well, Shem, who gives his name to the Semites, the Jews, Shem begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood, and then lived 500 years. He would be alive. And I haven't worked out the other calculations, but a number of them might still have been alive. So there were those in the days of the evil of Sodom who either themselves might have remembered the universal flood, and therefore remembered that God hated the wickedness of man, or else they'd heard about it second or third hand from previous generations. That did not stop those who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah from proceeding with that which the Lord had spoken so strongly against. And so it was that the Lord was intending to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And you remember that wonderful scene of the Lord being spoken with by Abraham. God didn't hide from Abraham what he was going to do in Sodom. And Lot, his nephew, lived in Sodom. And so he comes before the Lord, as you know, and says, surely you won't destroy righteous people with the wicked. Supposing there were 50 righteous people in Sodom, you wouldn't destroy it, would you? God says, no, I wouldn't. Supposing there were five short of 50 people, would you destroy it for 40 and five, for just the lack of the five? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 45 righteous people, I will not do it. But if there are only 40, would you do it? No, says the Lord, I will not destroy Sodom for the sake of 40 people. He actually knew, of course, how many righteous people there were. Supposing, says Abraham, don't be angry with me, but there are only 30 people. Would you destroy the town for 30 people, the righteous with the unrighteous? And the Lord said, no, I won't do that either. And if there are 20, no, I wouldn't destroy it for 20. And Abraham last of all says, don't be angry with me. This is my last plea. Supposing there were only 10. And the Lord said, I will not destroy it for the 10's sake. But there weren't 10. There was just Lot and his daughters. So, how many millions were alive in those days when I was reading to you Genesis 6? The people saw the wickedness that there was upon the whole earth and repented of him that he would destroy the nation. We have no idea how many there were. But in all those millions, there was a single figure number saved. 8. 8 out of millions. 450 years later, we do not know the population of Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's say there were 2,000 and only 4 were saved. A much better proportion than 8 out of millions. And today, supposing the Lord did return today, there are billions in the world, but probably millions of genuine Christians. The proportion isn't bad, if you like to put it that way, but you've got to be sure you're one of them. So, Lot was in the hands of the two men who were angels. And I find it interesting that these two angels didn't go to his sons-in-law to tell them that the earth was going to be, that Sodom and Gomorrah were going to be destroyed the next day. He actually sent Lot. Lot has to witness to his own family. And sometimes, as Jesus said, a prophet isn't welcome in his own community. I don't know whether the outcome would have been any different had the angel gone and ministered to his sons-in-law. But they actually sent, were commanded by the Lord to send Lot. And Lot seemed as one that mocked to his sons-in-law. But he wasn't mocking. It was from God. And there was no time to lose. And the Lord, being merciful unto Lot, drew his daughters and himself and his wife with them to safety. And we're given just a picture of the destruction. That whole area was like a furnace. So here we are today in the 21st century. How many righteous do you think there are in the world? How many believers do you think there are in the United Kingdom? How many believers are there in Suffolk? So that if the Lord returned today, who would be lost? And who would be saved? I don't know that they were the numbers that Jesus gave, just the principle of separation. But he said there would be a woman in the field who would be left and a woman taken to glory. That there would be separation. But I don't think we're to argue from that, that there would be equal numbers. But these are very important issues. Now, the gospel of Jesus Christ does not mock. First of all, we're not going to say, and the Bible doesn't say, that tomorrow the world will come to an end. It does teach that the world will come to an end. It also teaches that we don't know when it is. But the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ does not mock. In speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, the Bible does not mock. The preacher does not mock. When Jesus was sent to make atonement for sin, no time for mocking as to whether there really was a Jesus, no time for arguing whether you have any sin. Accept it. The Bible does not mock. It doesn't teach that you and I are sinners for the fun of it. It does not teach about the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that it be maybe just a little bit more difficult to believe than if we only thought of one person in the Godhead. The Bible does not mock. The scriptures do not mock. The word that comes from God concerning his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, does not mock. So if you were not a believer, and if you knew you were dying, or if you were not a believer but sensible, and knew that of course you could die at any time, what is there that you must do? Now the Bible is not mocking. The gospel preacher is not mocking when he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, do not mock. Read them through again. See what the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus, said about heaven and about hell. But the Bible does not mock. Peter went on to say in his letters that in the last days there would be those who would be scoffers, mockers, They would be the mockers, not the gospel. But their mocking would be along the line. Everything's continued as long as we can remember. Well, it wouldn't be so bad if that was actually what they said. But what they actually said is that all things had been unchanged since the beginning of the world, which of course it hadn't. There had been the flood with the whole changing of systems. Peter says they willingly leave that out of the reckoning. But we don't know. 1,000 years with the Lord are as one day, and one day as 1,000 years. He is not slow. But if the Lord's purpose takes 1,000 years, it's not long to God. Mind you, he can do in a day what most people would think would take 1,000 years. The gospel does not mock a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. It doesn't teach that there has been a change and that the Lord Jesus Christ came for sinners. Doesn't teach that in order to mock. Now, there are those who live in this generation who say that it is Christians who are child abusers. There are those who say it's the gospel that is wrong. If they say, why shouldn't we have LGBT+? They're the only generation in the whole life time of the world that has stressed these things so powerfully. Those we see with Sodom and Gomorrah, some of them have been about for a long time. There are scoffers, and they make out that black is white and white is black. But the gospel does not mock men and women. If it says to a person that you are a sinner, by nature, no matter what the sin, left to yourself, you will not turn to the Lord. Bible doesn't say that for the fun of it. The Bible says it because every one of us needs the Spirit of God to enable us by grace and faith to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to be down on our knees asking for this desperately if we're not believers. You may mock God, but he won't mock you. The gospel here on earth does not mock men. And it is a totally wrong response that will lead to destruction, not to believe it. But of course, that's not the only thing that the gospel teaches. The gospel teaches, and doesn't mock men, that the Lord Jesus is coming again. That the Lord Jesus will return in all his glory and in the glory of the holy angels. The Bible is not mocking us. The angels who spoke to the disciples as the Lord Jesus went up into the glory, as you have seen him go, so shall he return. They were not mocking the disciples, though that generation didn't see him come back except from in heaven. They were not mocking. They were telling sober truth. The Lord Jesus soberly and truthfully is going to return to his world with thousands of his saints, indeed with all of them, who died up to that point. And it will be the largest gathering that mankind has ever seen of all the disciples that ever were coming with the Lord, having their bodies joined back together again, and then those who are alive at the time of his return being caught up to meet them in the air. It will be vast. It will be a kingdom of which the Lord Jesus Christ says the kingdoms of this world will never come into remembrance anymore. But the kingdom of God will be given to the saints of the Most High. God is not mocking. The gospel is not mocking. The scriptures are not mocking careless people who think that everything is going to go on and on and on, just like it always has. That they may get on with their lives and do all the things they've always done without regard to God. Jesus expressly warns against it. We read the passage. As it was in the days of Noah, people are doing all these things and they knew not until the moment that the flood came and destroyed them all. We read in Genesis that God shut to the door of the ark. And I suspect that the passage that which the Lord Jesus speaks, that people start knocking on the door. I imagine lots of people pummel the doors of the ark, or the door of the ark, or the wooden bits that they could reach, saying, let us in. But they'd had 120 years. It was only now when they saw there was no escape from their judgment that they thought about it. It would be a terrible thing for millions of mankind today, under the wrath of God, no different from how we read God looking at them in Genesis 6, to carry on just as they've ordinarily done until the Lord's return overtakes them, or death, after which there is no change in spiritual status. But until death or the Lord's return overtakes them. There is only one way to have security and safety in all these things, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the Lord was merciful to Lot, so the Lord is merciful to those who will turn to him. They can't turn without the Spirit's help. They can't turn without grace. And therefore, the Lord in his mercy gives that spontaneous feeling in the heart, gives that wanting to believe the Bible, gives that wanting to turn to the Lord Jesus, gives that longing to be free from sin, gives all the things that are necessary to escape the danger. And it is a real danger. And I finish here. Lot's sons-in-law mocked, or thought, they didn't mock, but they thought that Lot was mocking. Destroyed tomorrow? It's going to carry on as long as we can remember. There's never been anything different. What's in it to make us think any different now? But they thought the preacher was mocking. But the destruction was imminent, and the destruction was swift. It is a dangerous mistake to believe that the gospel is irrelevant, or that God does not exist, or that the Lord Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. Failure in any of these things, if there is no turning back in repentance, will in fact lead to a sudden destruction and a situation that you can never reverse. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Think seriously about these things. Turn to him. Follow him all the days of your life. Love him with all your heart. And you shall find not that the gospel mocks, but that it prepares you for a world a million times, infinitely, better than this one. It's worth leaving this one for the one that is to come in Christ. It is worth it for a believer. But will you believe? Amen.